Some folks asked me, "Are you excited?" I said, "No, I'm scared." I had planned on coming up and being with you a few days through the conference. Brother Cecil and Mary had asked me to me and wife to come up and be here during the conference, and I was looking forward to that. And then Brother Wayne called and said had some brethren that couldn't make it and asked if I would fill in. And I said, "Well, yeah, but you know, I've never preached five services in a row, Brother Wayne. I've never been a revival preacher or any of those kind of things, and so that's nervous." I came out of the ABA and BMA and all, and they're not as strong on grace as you are and as Faith Missionary Baptist Church is. And I always knew that God was in charge. He saved, you know. So, but there's a lot that I don't know. There's a lot that I got to learn. I like what Brother Arthur said last night about the wind and stuff. And we just, you know, we trust God. And that's what I'm going to do this week. And I'm just going to go through James this week, and we'll go till the time ends up. And I guess I ought to look, see what time that is that I end up. Then we'll stop and we'll try to pick up the next time I'm up here to preach. But you always want to, I say you always want to, I don't want to cause a church problem. If I'm preaching in another pastor's pulpit, I don't want to cause, you know, troubles. And you say, "Well, if you preach the Bible, you won't cause trouble." Well, you will sometimes, you know, and it gets a little serious, but you trust the Lord to do it. Like Brother Cecil last night mentioned, some walked out on him in preaching, you know. Well, if you're on the Word of God, that's their problem. You know, they walked out, and the old human part of me comes in and says, "Well, did I say something wrong or did I do something wrong?" The old human part comes back and gets me to looking at, you know, and then I think, well, if they're strong in the Lord, they'll come to me and let me know, you know, and I'll say, "I'm sorry and I didn't know," and those kind of things, and get it straightened out. So as I said, I'm scared, and y'all are not scary folks. You're not scary folks, you're loving folks. And I watched these youngins gather here and all dressed up in their uniform, and somebody had asked, "Did you still have the school going on, Brother Wayne?" And I'm glad to hear that you do, and those kind of things. That's good. So y'all pray for me that I'll settle down, and if I say something, brethren, that is not kosher, is not scriptural, is not where it's supposed to be, don't hesitate to say, "Hey, Brother David, you know, just flag me down and we'll repent of it, you know, and go on." But there in James, you see, it says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." First of all, I want us to see that James knew he was saved. Talking to Brother Lawson back there, he started coming right after the church got started, he said, and him and his wife both were saved. She started coming first. Why are us men like that? Whenever we're created in the image of God, why don't the men step up and be men? You know? But anyway, James knew who he was. He knew he was saved. He says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad," he knew his relationship with the Lord. Whenever we know our relationship with the Lord, then it helps us to be able to go on through life and strive to be what he'd have us to be. We're still going to butt our heads against walls. We're still going to sin. We're still going to have those problems. But whenever you know that the Lord has saved you, what a peace it is to be able just to look somebody in the eye. I heard somebody last night talking telling somebody asked him about speaking in tongues, and he said, "I studied it, nothing to it." And just instructed that person, study it. You know, whenever you have that, whenever the Lord is put, and James has got that, folks. He knows it, and he says, "My brethren." So he's not talking to lost people. He's talking to people that are saved. And if there's anybody here lost this morning, I hope the Lord will save you before this day's over, and those kind of things. But for us that are saved, we have got a different. We've been made alive. We've been made alive, and we in order to stir in our hearts that we know we've been made alive. You know, have that confidence that old James had here, and that the Lord will give you as you study His Word. Lord saved me at a young age, and I got away from Him. Young people listen, and us that are older listen if you that away. And you get confused whenever you get back under the preaching of God's Word. You know, you begin to look at where you was, and you don't know. So it's important to stay into God's Word and to grow and all through your walk when the Lord saves you. I hope the Lord will plant somebody by the person that the Lord saves to encourage them to stay in the Word and to get in there and just keep on growing. You know, that they might have the confidence that James has, and that they might know without a doubt they've been born again and saved. He says, "My brethren," so he's talking to brethren, "count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Count it all joy. Why, if you see her hobbling around, I don't know if she's counting that all joy or not. I know it's painful and those kind of things, but whatever comes our way, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I don't think there was much temptation with what the wife's going through there. She's walking on a treadmill and that kind of thing. There wasn't any temptation, but we live in from Adam to Eve, you know, from Adam to now till the Lord comes back, we're going to live in this kind of world, all kinds of temptations. And folks, I don't know how to stir our hearts to realize to, when you're listening to some of the preaching out there in the world, you gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. It's tempting. Right after the Lord got us back into church there in Texas, we went down there to go to school and so forth, and I knew I was supposed to be in church. Lord saved me there at Dry Creek, Pleasant Hill or whatever, and all, and we got away and got down in Texas going to this school, and not long after we got back in church under the preaching of God's Word, there were some Mormons come by the house. Some Mormons come by the house. I wasn't grounded in God's Word like I should have been, but praise the Lord, I was grounded enough to know that that wasn't where I needed to go. But they had a good sounding message, folks. They take care of their folks. They, you know, and their message, if you don't know some of God's Word, and the Holy Spirit and God's grace is not working with you, is not, and you're not striving to learn and all, you can be snatched up. If I'd have went into the Mormon church, folks, I'd have been saved. Saved there. Lord, He saved me at Dry Creek. He sealed me up there. But I'd have been going down a road that preached and taught false doctrine but it had a good message behind it. And that's why I say all temptation, whenever it sounds real good to the ears, listen up. Listen up. And does it match up, as Brother Officer said, with the rest of God's doctrines, you know? If it don't match up with what God's Word is saying, you better step back and say, I'm sorry, but let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what I know was right. I'm sorry, but I can't accept your message. I can't. All temptation, it makes you grow. It makes you grow. We sat through a week of those missionaries coming in the house. If I'd have knew what over in John, I forget where it's just exactly at, where it says don't even invite them into your house. If I'd have been grounded in the Word, we'd have sat out on the porch. We was living in a mobile home and the porch was steps, you know, that was our steps. So if I'd have known those scriptures, they probably wouldn't have spent an evening, you know. But we didn't know, I didn't know, and so they spent a week coming and they'd talk back and forth, and I had a friend, and maybe this is what the Lord had all set up at work, that claimed to be a Mormon. And We'd go into work. I'd go into work that morning. He'd say, enlighten me what you've learned. Enlighten me what you've learned with those missionaries in your home. And I'd go to telling him and talking with him. And he'd go to talking and I'd say, you're not a Mormon. You're not a Mormon. I could hear enough of their teaching and all. And whenever he was talking back, he didn't fit in. Later on, the Lord saved him. On down the road, and also maybe that's what the Lord had in mind in all of that. I don't know, but what I'm saying, the temptation was there to go into a group that had the nice words, you know, and there's loving people, you know, there's loving people, there's caring people, and those kind of things. But their message of God was so it was tempting to go in, and there's other areas, you know, that comes along as you listen to the preachers out there. And James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Now, I guess he could go into that. We could go down this fleshly road too with this temptation. You see, I think about our young people and the battle that they have, you know, ahead of them, and I think about us older folks, and it's not getting any easier out there, you know, and it's not going to get any easier. I get kind of flip flopped on this, Brother Cecil. They are, you know, the Lord said over in Chronicles, if you do this, I'll do this. And then you read, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Well, that tells me I'm not going to do this. Oh, sin nature is apparently not going to do what God calls me to do. And so there's a lot of other different temptations that we could run into. But count it all joy whenever the Lord hits your head and says, get out of that. Wake you up. He brings some preacher along or he brings some Christian along that's solid and he says, don't go down that road. It sounds good. It feels good to the flesh. It tickles it all. But repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry I even considered it. Lord, I'm sorry I'd even, and repent of it. And 1 John 1:9, it'll tell you, it'll clean you up and make you ready to go again. If you don't have that broken heart, if you don't get to where that prodigal son was, you know, count it all joy. Why? Knowing this. That the trying of your faith worketh patience. Worketh patience. You can work around and bring around the conversation and not just go off a... You know, sometimes you... I don't know about you, but somebody comes up with some of this nonsense and I just want to jump up in the middle of their face, you know. But patience says, wait and let you get the... God's Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. My Word is not worth a flip, but God's Word, you get it, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So it works patience at you, your temptation's there, and you see, if I'll just wait... Sometimes I can't wait long enough because I have to tell them I don't believe that kind of stuff, you know, but you hear what I'm saying? Wait and your patience and that you might get the Word in, but let patience have her perfect work that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In verse 4, that could get into this promise preaching stuff, couldn't it? You know, hey, well, if you do this, the Lord's going to give you $1 million. You do that, the Lord's. You could get into that with just pull that verse out there and go somewhere with it. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting in nothing. That wanting in nothing to me, you know, if you know the Lord, old James, he didn't have any trouble. He didn't. Want $1 million and all that. He had the peace of God. If God gave him $1 million, he knew what to do with $1 million. You see. He just like the rest of it as far as, he wanted to better his financial situation. He wanted good health. He wanted all those kind of things. But he knew. He just trusting God and going right on, you know. That's what you and I need to be doing in this day and age that we live in. We need to listen to those that's gone on before us and all and learn and not, Brother Arthur was mentioning this morning, these cell phones that we have, you know, I got mine on charger now. They run down, you know, they don't. But isn't it amazing how God has allowed us to have these things and yet if you get to thinking about it, can I grow potatoes if I need to or have I got to have a computer? Somebody, young people, you need to listen to grandma, grandpa, moms and dads that are in this computer age and all. They're good. I'm kind of like the old rocking chair philosopher. I don't want to go back. I like the computers and all, but I want to tell myself I want to have enough about me to know that I got to depend on God, and then God has brought some things in, and depending on God doesn't depend on that computer or that calculator or whatever. He's given us a mind, and there's going to come a day, folks, this thing's going to blow up. This system that's going on is going to blow up, and I believe that I won't be here. I believe that God's people's going to go out, and you say, well, don't worry about it and those kind of things. If by chance God's people doesn't go out, I believe that I am. But if something happens, I want to be able to forget about that computer and say, yes, I know what two and two is, and I can dig a hole and plant a potato and those kind of things. You need to cut them eyes out. You can get a lot more out of just one potato, folks. You understand? You know, you don't just plant the whole potato, beans and those kind of things. Not wanting anything, trusting. James, just trusting the Lord, you know, and counting on Him. Patience is work faith. Then verse 6, if any of you lack wisdom, listen at this. Talking about saved people, talking to saved people. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Listen to it. There's no one in prosperity messages if you want to, and all. God means what He says. He means what He says. If any of you lack wisdom, I lack some wisdom dealing with them Mormons. I lack a lot of wisdom in dealing with a lot of things. I catch myself and not being able to think on my feet sometimes, you know. Well, I wish I'd have said that to those folks after the fact, you know. And I guess we all do that. Monday back quarterback, they called it in Dallas, you know, we look at, and those kind of things. But I want the Lord to give me some of those things, and He has from time to time, Brother Wayne, and He will to all of us, you know, and He gives it to us when we need it. If I'm thinking about, well, I wished I'd have said it, the Lord didn't want me to say it at that time, apparently, or He'd have gave it to me. I knocked on a guy's door, me and another guy visiting down there in Dallas one day, in out of Dallas, where we was, pastoring a mission in a town called Terrell, and knocked on the door, and you usually go up and you say, I'm from Faith Missionary Baptist Church, and we're out visiting, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and invite them to come. And this guy opened the door up, and he said, what can I do for you? I said, come to church Sunday morning. Right off, you know, didn't tell him what church, didn't say anything, didn't go through the normal routine, and you could just see in his eyes that he was convicted, and he knew that's what he needed to do. He needed to find that place, you know. The Lord he started crawfishing because he wasn't going to promise he was going to come to church. But that's what he could do for me. He asked me the question, what can I do? And I told him, Lord gave me just that instead of going through this. I'm from, I can't even think of the name of the mission now, but Wayne down there, but, you know, Lord will give you those kind of things. That's wisdom. That's God given. If you lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Lord, give me that wisdom to talk to people. And like the young man last night saying, I've studied about those tongues. There's nothing to it. Lord gave him that message for that individual. That individual didn't know what to do with it. I hope the Lord that kind of opened his mind up somewhere along the line and said, hey, I believe I will study. I believe I will start looking. I believe I will start digging into that and seeing what he meant by I studied it, and there's nothing to it. He gives you wisdom. He gives it. But notice this part, folks, and this is sometimes we get accused of being sovereign grace people and all that. Well, we're hard shell, you know, and we're free will and those kind of things, and whatever will be, and those kind of things. I believe without a doubt, if I don't ask God for this wisdom, He's not going to give it to me. I believe I've got to ask the Lord for help. I believe I've got to ask the Lord for that wisdom or whatever else it is that I am in need of, and I need to search real close to make sure that it's in a need and it's not a want. I had a friend several years ago that's wanting to buy a video camera. and he was trying his best. Well, I can use this to take missionaries. I can use this to do this with. I can use this to do that with. He was trying his best to work it around to where he could say, the Lord wanted me to have that video. Well, he might as well confess up, I want the video. You know? I don't think there's anything wrong with having the video camera. And if the Lord provides the means, if you're not having to rob God to get the video camera, if I got to spend my tithe money to buy the video camera, it won't work, folks. It'll blow up. Something will happen. But if the Lord allows me to get it, then He'll probably allow a way to use that for His honor and glory somewhere, you see. But you got to ask for the help. You've got to ask God for wisdom here. And wisdom is a powerful thing that it's not like the video camera, you know. Wisdom will be useful to reach out to encourage a wayward brother or sister. Wisdom will be used to reach out to that lost and dying soul out there to give the gospel message, and God might take and save that person through that. Wisdom is something that is not a physical thing. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven with the wind and tossed to and fro. For let not that man think that he receiveth anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flowers of the grass, he shall pass away. I guess go ahead and stop in there somewhere. But do you see us in here? It's like whenever I was talking about getting off away from the Lord. Lord saved me at a young age, and I didn't stay Bible read, didn't stay prayed up, didn't stay close to the Lord, and I got off down under the preaching of God's Word. My mind wasn't settled, was it? My mind wasn't, because I didn't stay into God's Word. I didn't grow, I didn't learn, I didn't do what these young people are doing here, taking notes and listening and those kind of things, what little time I was under the preaching of God's Word, and whenever I got away from home and those kind of things, I just went my way, so I was wavering, you know. I was out in the world is where I was at. I wasn't trying to find or go or do any of those kind of things. But let him that ask not wavering be, Lord, I really want this wisdom. I want it that I might honor and glorify you. I want it that that I can be that vessel, not wavering. For that he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven with the wind and tossed back. Brother Cecil Fayard lived down there on the coast. He see that water come in, it goes out. Then it comes in, it goes out. We don't want to be that way, folks. We don't want to be that way. And I realize that I'm talking this morning to those that are not that way. You're here this morning on a weekday in this service and also your city. But guess what? You're going to be out there next to somebody that is. Let your light be shining that they'll see. And you'll be able to say, you know, I was at the Bible Conference Institute and we just had a great time. And just, you rub up, you have an influence on that person that's getting washed out. You have an influence on them. And so whenever you ask the Lord for something, make it that, you know, you want it for sure. You're not that wavering person. You want to be able to win souls. You want to be able to encourage souls. And how he that winneth souls is wise, you know. It's important that we, as we come together, every one of us, I like what Brother Cecil Fayard said the other night, you're going to respond to this message. We may not see that response. We being the congregation, you know. You may not walk down here and shake Brother Wayne's hand and say, you know, this, and this, you know, and those kind of things. But you and I responded to both Brother Arthur's message and Brother Cecil's message. We had a response as we sat right there and listened to it. You know, and sometimes that, this gets a little touchy. You know, you want to see people moving. You don't want to twist their arms. You know, Brother Cecil mentioned the power of persuasion, you know, and we all can usually twist and persuade somebody to do something. But what you've usually done, or whenever you persuade me and twist and really what I've said, now Brother Cecil, I don't want to hear you anymore. I'm going to do what you're talking about just to get you to shut up, so you won't come bothering me anymore. So that's why it's important that we give the message and we leave it in God's hand to move that person and do all that we can to encourage them and let them know it. But it's God that's got to do the work. It's got to, you know, and you've got to trust Him. Not wavering. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wavering. Well, I believe I'll be at church Sunday, you know. Oh, I don't know. This is a pretty good fishing day. Or maybe I like to knock that golf ball around. I don't like to knock it around, but some folks do and those kind of things. And some of you may be that. I may be getting in trouble, by the way. But fishing, hunting, and all those are good things. They're just not good on the Lord's day. Do you realize that you can go fishing and golfing and all those kind of things and let the grace of God just rub up against somebody else? Come Sunday, no, I can't go. Guess what? That grace of God, it still rubs up against that person because you told that person, I'm going to go to church Sunday. That person's going out there and he's thinking that person's in the Lord's house. Don't think you're going to get anything if you're going to be wishy-washy with the Lord. If you're going to follow be solid and it'll cost you. It'll cost you. But it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. If you're asking the Lord for wisdom and you stay solid on it and He gives you that wisdom, it'll be worth it. And He'll give it to you if you don't get washed this way and washed this way. Well, I want it this Sunday, but I don't want it next Sunday. I'm concerned about folks that walk the aisle to join and then they walk out and they don't come back. I'm seeking the Lord to give me this wisdom on how do you handle these church members, and this is going to be hard, folks, but how do you deal with church members that haven't been there in 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Something is wrong. And I probably better not say this, but I know for several years, I don't know for right now about my mother. She's saved. But I know several years ago, she had not moved her membership from Dry Creek Missionary Baptist Church, Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church there in Lynn, where the Lord had planted her and all. She had not moved her membership up here to Dexter. She lives in Dexter with my sister around there to a church where she's going. She's not faithful now. I've got a problem with Mom. I've got a problem with church members that, you see, they're this way. They're like this. They're not. And I want the Lord to give me as a pastor of Faith Missionary Baptist Church some direction and guidance on these things. And I want you to ask the Lord to give you some direction and guidance, because you're rubbing up against a church member out there that's unconcerned. And we need to be so concerned, you see. We need to be concerned and asking and encourage them and let them know the seriousness about it. Yeah. Because the Lord hadn't struck Mom dead because she hadn't moved her membership, you know, we get to thinking, well, this or that. She may get a cold hold of this tape and just wear the seat of my pants out sometime, you know. But that's all right, too. But we need to let those folks know that just because God didn't strike you dead because you sinned doesn't mean that He's not concerned about you. In fact, it might be that you need to be concerned about Him. If something is not happening in your life, you read Hebrews chapter 12, if I sin against the Lord, if I sin against Faith Missionary Baptist Church, if I sin against my wife, if I sin, He's got a paddle. Sometimes I think He's got holes in it like they used to put, you know, and there to get your attention and all. He has a paddle, and if I'm not getting that paddle whenever I sin, it says I'm not one of His. Listen to me. You know, He says that I'm just not one of His. We're not going to get it from the Lord, as verse 7 says, if we waver, if we're tossed to and fro. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man. And I don't know how, and I'm this way, and I guess we all run into this, and we think, well, boy, I wish I'd have, steadfast, not double-minded thinking, well, I'll do this and be a politician, and tickle our ears, and there's a lot of preachers are politicians, I guess, because they're tickling our ears, and we like it and we need to stand up and say, that sounds good and all that, but I want to see evidence of it. I want to see the Lord, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Get solid on God's Word. Get solid on living for the Lord. Get solid and all. Don't get so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. But be steady. Don't be double-minded and say, well, it's all right this Sunday to do this, but next Sunday is this. Get steady on it and those kind of things. I heard a missionary, story, I think it's a missionary, might have been a pastor, but he was getting so involved in his church that he's neglecting his children and it come to light and he's fixed that problem, started spending more time with his children, and at the same time he wasn't neglecting the church, He just wasn't using it as an excuse to be away from his children. He was, and it was amazing the mission work that he accomplished in his family and his children by taking that step of stepping back from being so churchy, that he reached his children. It's a fine line, that the Lord's in charge of all of it. If we'll be looking to Him, we can see. I had a son that went and I couldn't figure out. I couldn't figure out how to break him without breaking his spirit, Somebody, talking to him, I said, only way I know to stop him from doing what he's doing is kill him. And if I was in the Old Testament, that's what would have happened. If we'd have followed it, it was a few years there that it was, not knowing what to do with him. But I knew the Lord was in charge and I just kept plowing and just kept right on going and trusting the Lord and he's doing, son's doing good now, got a little girl and those kind of things, I say he's doing good in that he's not in church, so he's not really doing all that good, he's not leading the family in the spiritual walk, but he's doing better than what he was doing. But I was at a point, how do you work this? Don't believe I was double-minded in it and those kind of things, but it just got to where, it was tough. Y'all been there, or know some people that have been there, and those kind of things. But we trust the Lord again, and we stand on His Word, and we don't say, well, I'm just going to give up church, and because the Lord's not doing anything, The Lord's working, folks. He's working every day. Let the brother of low degree, in verse 9, rejoice in that he is exalted. Let the brother in low degree rejoice that he exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flowers of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is not no sooner risen, in verse 11, with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flowers thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let the brother of low degree sometimes we run across those that to get attention they act like they're low degree or something. I don't know just what it is, just how to bring it out. But if the Lord is working and you're a little person, he'll build you up. He'll bring a brother around to encourage you or a sister around to encourage you and to self-esteem. You got to be careful about this self-esteem and this kind of stuff, you know. But this brother of low degree, needs to be encouraged, and the Lord will encourage him. Notice it says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. The Lord has got a word, rejoice that he's exalted. But don't use that to get self-pity or something. I don't know just the word that I'm looking for there. But then the rich man. Oh, we think we can buy it all if we're rich, don't we? I'm not rich and I don't, you know, those kind of things, but we get to the rich man, but the rich in that he is made low, rejoice in that the Lord wakes you up, brings you down to realize you don't count on those riches. You don't count on those riches. Heard of a guy that had a young child that was having a problem, and the Lord had blessed him in a way that he had all the finances and all those kind of things, and he took the child. I forget what the problem was that the child had, but he said, I want the best doctor that there is. Want the best doctor, I can afford it. I've got the money, I can afford it. And the doctor that he was talking to, now this kind of sounds a little haughty, a little boastful at all. I am the best. I am the best. Well, that guy couldn't accept it, and the doctor was telling him, there's not anything we can do with this child. We can't help this child. We can't help him. He said, I got the money, I got the money, I got the money. We can't help you. We can't help you. The Lord's going to have to do a work on this child, you see. The rich man's money will not save him, folks. The rich man's money will not educate him. The rich man's money will not, it may educate him, all right, but God is the one that's going to, He's the one that's, God's got to be the one there. He says, for the rich in that he is made low because as the flowers of the grass and so forth, in verse 11, the sun come and wither. The rich man's going to die. Just if he's saved, he'll be just like you and I are. He'll be taken out. He's either going to die or be taken out if he's saved. You see, the riches don't change our soul's condition. It changes our thinking a lot of times that we can just buy the best doctor, and if my child has got a disease, well, I'll just buy it and fix it. If the Lord's allowed that disease to come on that child, you better back up and say, what are you teaching me, Lord? What is it that I'm to learn from this? That may be the thing that bringing the rich down to the low, that he might see God is in charge. He's in charge and not me, not my money, not anything else. In fact, whenever I die and I'm gone, this money's going to be, it's going to be like the grass. The heat hits it, it's going to go away. Folks, if my confidence is in the world, my confidence is in the 401ks, my confidence is in all those kind of things, I'm in a bad shape. My confidence needs to be in the Lord God Almighty and trusting Him. Whether there's any 401ks, whether there's anything about it, my confidence needs to be in the Lord. He's going to exalt those of low estate. He's going to bring those rich to where that they realize that He's in charge. He's in charge, and that's what we need to keep in mind as we go through this walk that we're in. And notice in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You don't think it's not good to fight and say, hey, I'm going to turn that TV off tonight. It's got some ugly stuff on it. You don't think it's a good thing to say, I'd like to go with you golfing, but I know you guys, you get out there and you do all that drinking and all that kind of stuff around, or that hunting or whatever, or fishing, whatever it might be doing. Or it might just be sitting at the house playing some friendly card games of some kind, and they got to bring their booze out and those kind of things. And they're good folks to work with and those kind of things. But when they invite you to that, you say, no, can't go there. Or if you do go there, you're preaching and they can't enjoy the, you know. Every time they go to say something, they say, oh, excuse my French or something. They get tired of you being around there and they might not invite you anymore. So there's a flip side to both sides. That comes back to the churchy, being too churchy, you know. But whenever you can be at a place like that and they say, well, look, everybody else is doing it. And you say, I'm sorry. And it's not because you're the designated driver. It's because the Lord has made a difference in your heart. And you're trying to walk the way He'd have you to walk. You're trying to talk the talk that He wants you to talk. That, you know, and whenever you do it, you look what happens whenever we stay faithful to the Lord. We need to preach and we need to teach our young people. We need to preach and teach our people that we work with around us that it means something to be a Christian. It means something that the Lord has saved you. It means something that He's made a difference in your life. And you're not trying to be like them. It's hard. We want to be liked and we want to be a part of the group. But whenever that group's ungodly, it ought to inspire us to be proud that we're not ungodly. And whenever we resist temptation and we say no, we'll get looked at. We'll be called Holy Joes. We'll be called, you think you're better than I am. I had one guy one day, he's there in the work, and he says, do you know it all? And I don't intend to put on that I know it all show, but sometimes they'll take these things, and whenever you're confident in what the Lord has given you and you stand on it, they're trying to bring something around so that they'll feel good, I guess. I don't know just what it is that they're trying to do. I said, no, I don't know it all, but I know the one that does, and he hadn't told me about the situation you're talking about yet, you know. He knows it all, and I know him. And whenever he gets ready to let me know, well, maybe I'll tell you whenever it comes to, you know, about. But until he lets me know. But you have a spirit of love, a spirit of, you know, and sometimes it comes across that you think you know it all. And you have to tell them, I'm sorry, I just, don't try to. If you don't know it, just tell them you don't know it. You know. Just tell them you don't know it. You're a pastor, Faith Missionary Baptist Church. You're a saved person, and all this. And I'm sorry. I just don't know it. You know, and just let them know you don't know it all. But what a joy it is to know that whenever you stand on God's word and you don't budge off of it, there's something waiting for you on down the road. These folks that said, "Well, I just want to get into glory." I'd like for them to apply that to their daily walk. You can look at their daily walk and they are not satisfied with not getting a paycheck every day. Every week or whatever it might be. They're not satisfied with driving an old clunker that you have to park on the hill to push it down the... You know? So whenever they tell me, well, I just want to get saved, that makes me realize that something's not clicking inside there, you know. Whenever I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I hope that there'll be something go through there on the other side for His honor and glory. That you might give it back to Him. If you resist temptation, if you don't waver, if you ask God for wisdom, if you do all these things, there's going to be something that goes out the other side that's going to be a reward for you. It's not going to happen if I just sit down and do nothing, folks. If I don't get into this Word, if I don't study it. And in the King James Version, like somebody said the other night, somebody told them, said, you find you a church where they preach out of the King James Version. I said, praise God, there's still some out there, you know, that directing people. You know, Billy Graham Crusades and all those other people. Find a church of your choice out there. Find a church of, you know, and all. Instead of directing them to some place that preaches God's Word, just really throwing to the wolves out there, aren't they? You know? Lord warned us about false prophets and those kind of things. But if we resist that temptation, He says in verse 12, for when He has tried, He shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. It means something to stay faithful to the Lord. It means something when He saves you to follow and encourage and other folks and those kind of things. And you're not always the one to do the encouraging. Sometimes I'm a hard one to receive, you know, from other folks. And I have to bring myself and make myself realize I need help. You know. I need to call on whoever sometimes and all. And not only do I need to call on somebody, but whenever they see something, then they say, let me do that for you, Brother David. I need to back up and let them do that for Brother David. And it's not to sit down and do nothing, but sometimes we get to thinking we're the helpers all the time. We need a word of encouragement. We need a word of help from time to time. We need to realize that it is us that sometimes need this. And there'll be rewards for that also. Don't let the old devil come along or somebody and say, well, I'm just supposed to sit down and let people wait on me. That's not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying at all. But as we go through and we live our lives and we're available for the Lord to use out there and to do things, there's going to be a reward for us, this crown of life. There's a whole lot more in there that we could dig out and stuff and we do some studying on and those kind of things. But we're going to go on my preaching, and it doesn't make any difference. Brother Arthur or Brother Cecil preaches out of James. We're going to continue right on down, Lord willing, in the book of James every time that I get to preach. That's where I'm going to go, and I hope I won't cause any trouble. I don't know the word to say, brother, you know, but I just thank you for hearing me this morning and listening, and I pray that you'll study through James now. You've got to know where I'm going, and you can go through there. And what you'll do, and I've had other church members and all say, well, I wish you'd have brought that out. What the Lord does sometimes is show you some things that He hadn't showed me as you study and read along. And you say, man, we need to hear that. But the preacher doesn't get it said, you see. It wasn't brought out to him. And that's all right, you know, but you can pass it on to somebody else. And it'll bless you. It'll bless you by reading through it. I thank you for listening, Brother Wayne. You come, and if the Lord's moved on a heart today, this is your time to respond to it, Brother Wayne.